EFT Community Radio, followed by Smile Politely Radio coming up next. Stay with us after that for Hip Hop Express at 6, Blues Live at 8, and The Bachelor Pad at 10. You are listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local. Arts, culture, food and drink, music, tech, opinion, and much, much more. I am Rebecca. I'm the co-host of the show, and I'm joined in the studio today by Josh, the co-host. How are you doing, Josh?
I'm doing real well, Rebecca. Hi.
Hi. And to get us started, we heard Mother Nature, the duo of Truth and Cleva, who are playing tonight at 8 and Mike and Molly, so don't miss that. And also in the studio with us here today is a WEFT legend, amongst other things. We have Jason Finkelman, who we're going to speak to for the next 25 minutes or so. Among his many titles is curator of the Sudden Sound series, which is sponsored by the Craner Art Museum. But you are also, you sit in the hot seat weekly on Sunday nights.
That's right. I'm here at WEFT on Sunday nights from 8 to 10, host of Fanfare for the Speeding Bullet, bringing you experimental music, avant-garde jazz, improvised music, and other sounds that fall between the cracks of popular music.
So, you sound like you've said that a couple times before.
A couple times. It's always a different order, though, because by nature I'm an improviser, so everything I do is improvised pretty much, including planning my show.
Well, the tables are turned, Jason. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about the kinds of things that you do related to improvisation, jazz, and all sorts of sounds here in Champaign-Urbana.
All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you both for inviting me onto the show. It's the first time I've been on Smile Politely Radio, and it's a real honor. It's really great to see how...
You know you've made it when you get on this radio show. Mm-hmm. You know that,
well,
right?
I've made it now. I've arrived. I keep wondering when I'll be considered local. You know, I've been in town for 15 years, and...
If you didn't go to high school here, you'd never get there. I've been here that long. You're an honorary townie, is about the best you can get.
All right. Well, that's good. But I've been here for 15 years, and over the years, I've created opportunities for myself to perform locally with a wide variety of really incredible artists in this community. We're very fortunate, as you know, to be in such a vibrant music community here in Urbana-Champaign. And so... There were a lot of different efforts that I had to create things that I was missing after I moved here from New York City in 2000. So my wife is a dancer and choreographer in the part of the dance faculty, Cynthia Oliver, at the University of Illinois, and that's what brought us to town. And from that moment, moving forward, when we arrived, I was working at the University of Illinois as well. And I started developing programs over the years. And one of the first programs that became a regular series was the Sudden Sound Concert Series, which I believe had its first concert in 2005, January of 2005. So coming up really soon, Jeff Chan's Chicago Clarinet Conglomerate and Douglas Ewart's Quasar will be featured this fall in the Sudden Sound Concert Series. And Jeff Chan and the Chicago Clarinet Conglomerate, they're on Thursday, October 29th at 7:30 p.m. And what's really beautiful about both of these concerts is it's two celebrations going on. When I do my programming, I like to try to tie into, different events that are markers of history. And the particular marker that's special about both of these concerts is the 50th anniversary of the organization called the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. They're celebrating 50 years. They came out of the Black Arts Movement in Chicago, and this whole year has been a big celebration for members that have come out of that organization for many different generations. So Douglas Ewart, for example, was president of the AACM from 1979 to 1986, and he joined the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians in 1967 as a student. So he has a long history with that organization. Are you familiar with that organization?
I've heard of it, but that's the kind of years experience. You know, you're dealing with somebody who's dealt with their business for some time.
That's right. And I've always been a fan, ever since I got into avant-garde jazz, I've always been a fan of the music that came out of that organization. Groups like the Art Ensemble of Chicago and Anthony Braxton and Roscoe Mitchell and the younger players today, Tamika Reed and Nicole Mitchell and all these folks that are making incredible music.
So just to back up a little bit, Jason, you are curating these events as part of the Sudden Sound series, which you're mentioning has been going on for years. Could you kind of give us a brief exposition of what Sudden Sound is, what kind of music it seeks to put together into the
Absolutely.
Series?
Absolutely. The principal focus of this has always been improvised music and the jazz avant-garde from the beginning. And
for the layman, what is the jazz avant-garde?
Yeah,
in
for the
your
old
definition?
80s metal rock listener who's out there, you know.
All right, well.
Start from the beginning.
Start from the very beginning.
A guy had a drum and he hit it in a weird pattern.
No, I mean, just tell us, you know, what are the sort of icons of avant-garde jazz to you, or what is that genre mean?
Well, if you want to look at the music historically, there's a year that is always kind of marked as the year when things changed, and that's 1958. So you had people like Ornette Coleman really changing things up. I mean, Charles Mingus was also doing things that were edgier, and he actually kind of had this bend against the later avant-garde thing that started to happen, you know, with Albert Eiler and the really wild energy music of John Coltrane and stuff.
Right.
Mingus was he's a particular favorite of mine. So, you know, when I started getting into the music, it was really interesting to me because, I mean, I went from, you know, classic rock head and, mm-hmm. and like thinking about the psychedelic music of the 60s. And it was really a lot of the popular music that I was listening to. I actually came up in a rock radio station with a friend of mine. His father was a radio host at WYSP in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So like I was kind of a radio station a bug in the rug or something, you know? I mean,
radio station brat, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I was always around and as much as I could be. But anyway, so that was kind of the background that I got into the music. And I was thinking, man, the jazz from the late 60s must be really out there, you know? But then when I started getting into the music and hearing what was happening in 1961 and 1960 and mm-hmm. 64 and, you know, 58, then I was like, okay, these guys had something going on that was light years beyond what was happening in the psychedelic years of the 60s. But there's also really fantastic and unusual music that came out of that. So anyway, mm-hmm. to define avant-garde jazz for me is that there's this history of this kind of energy music and improvised music, music that stopped playing within the form of the changes of, you know, song forms that bebop came out of and these types of things. But, you know, that was revolutionary music too.
Well, I was actually watching a thing on Louis Armstrong the other day, and when he was coming up, he was taught, like, you know, can you just play more notes, kind of was one of the encouragements he was given. And always a joke that rock fans would think about jazz is, you know, it's about the notes you don't play sometimes is what you say. Right. But no, the high energy from Coltrane, I mean, that's where you're getting into where, like, even people who are not familiar with it know that kind of music.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. And then so when I got into the music, I was seeing people like Charles Gayle, whose motto was, if the walls are standing after I've finished playing, I haven't done my job. I was seeing these guys play music that really just, I had no idea about the history of jazz at the time where I was getting into the music, and the music I was getting into was the avant-garde. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of an interesting moving backwards to then catch up to what I was dealing with, so, you know, to understand the music better.
Yeah. So tell me, what are some of your, in your years curating this series, what are some of the highlights for you? I mean, I'm sure it's been... Well, everything is wonderful
if
you're curating it.
I happen to bring my fancy book.
You have like a scrapbook.
I have a scrapbook, which is all the flyers of this. So basically, fantastic. One of the things that I really appreciate and that's had a long kind of recurring, sustained engagement with Tatsuya Nakatani has started from the very beginning of the series because Jack Wright, who had been regarded and is maybe still regarded as the Johnny Appleseed of American improv, he would go on these tours on the road and he would show up in these little communities and that had never heard like this kind of way out energy saxophone playing that he would do. Mm-hmm. And you know, so I had heard of this legend, right? And all of a sudden, like, he got in touch with me out of the blue and said, I have this trio I want to bring to your town. Do you have an idea of how we could do it? And I was like, well, the Cranford Art Museum is the perfect venue, and I happened to be like trying to get my own concert in there because at the time I called New Orbit Ensemble, and so I just threw the idea out: could we do two concerts, and we call the event, make it a series, and call it the Sun Sound Concert Series. So Jack Wright came in January of 2005 with Michel Donata and Tatsuya Nakatani. And Tatsuya Nakatani was just here at Allen Hall in residence presenting his gong orchestra with Allen Hall residence Bode Gong Ensemble. So it's been nice to see the development of Tatsuya Nakatani's project over all these years and to have somebody like that come in and out. I'd say another highlight and dream for me was to bring Pauline Oliveris to the University of Illinois in 2009. She is a mentor and someone in my life that's really influenced the music that I do. So her approach to improvised music is very much different than, say, like a jazz, even a free jazz approach to the music, even though she's worked with some of the best in mm-hmm. that idiom as well. So Pauline's whole thing is deep listening, and there are people who have studied with her and now are certified to teach her deep listening techniques. These are meditations in which to create music. You know, it's a listening strategies to that the result is making music through these listening strategies. Some of the other great groups we've had there, Rova Saxophone Quartet and Adam Rudolph has been in the series twice. But I have to say, you know, William Parker's quartet, over the years, the groups have become more and more kind of the great groups of the music. And William Parker's group was certainly a highlight for me in October of 2013.
So one of the things you're telling us is that our community has a real global aspect or a global view on music beyond Assembly Hall. For example, you know, it's not just, you know, large rock bands and things that we play, but we are able to have we're a community that can also bring in global music from all over the world.
Oh, absolutely. And global is a whole different thing, too, because with the programming that I do, I program on the behalf of many different organizations. The Krannert Art Museum, being the home of the Sudden Sound Concert Series, is one. But the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts is where my position is based. And my fancy title is the Director of Global Arts Performance Initiative. So you want to speak about global music. The Global Transfer Afterglow series is what I bring to the Krannert Center. And we have a really wonderful group coming on November 5th. They perform. It's a free. And the other thing is all the concerts that I put on are free. So we are looking to develop new audiences for this music, and I would include international music traditions of the world as well as these cross-cultural projects. This is music that's not often in the commercial radio outlets or
public eye as much. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really great to have the opportunity to enrich the community with these various styles of music. So this group, Allos Musica Ensemble, features clarinet, oud, accordion, and hand drumming, and they do a kind of a mix of Middle Eastern meets Eastern European music, and they're a real chamber music ensemble. But what's really great about their visit is that we're doing some engagements also with the Folk Roots Festival. And so the accordion player happens to be a star in contradance circles. Everybody in contradance circles knows who he is, right? So anyway, James Falzone is the leader of the group, and so they're going to play the contra dance the next night in the Folk and Roots Festival, which happens, I think, at the it's going to be at the Landmark Hotel on Friday, November 6th, around 8:45, I think.
And that's a free concert as well.
Well, the contra dance is actually, there is a small fee to get in.
So just to bring it back to jazz and specifically Sudden Sound here, I was wondering if you know, as somebody that has spent years thinking about how jazz has changed across time, if you could characterize jazz now.
Characterize jazz now?
An e question.
Okay,
right?
Well, look, I was...
In 90 seconds.
Yeah, right. I was the jazz genre director here for a long time. And we
here being at WEFT.
At WEFT. Yeah. And you know, I love being here because we stay informed about the music today, right? So... And while we might not get 100% of everything that's out there, we get a really great, you know, representation of the music. And I think that the music today, in the area of jazz, there is a lot of producers who want to have throwback music featured. And there's
nothing. You
think
that's hipster inspired?
Right. I mean, there's singers that are singing
our audience
in the styles of, you know, the Rat Pack, you know, there's female singers that are singing in these styles. But, you know, the music for me has always been about who are those artists who have created an original voice in the music. That's always what I mean, I think all music is that. You think about all the great stars in any genre of music. Why are they particularly popular? Maybe most of the time they're popular because they've captured their own identity in the music.
The formative ones, especially, that have kind of changed the directions that music have gone in history, no matter what genre you follow, you know, from Beatles, Stones, Led Zeppelin, you know, through my, you know, my genres I enjoyed. And I find a lot of interest in what you say about how, because I grew up in a small town in southern Illinois, so we were in the 80s, so we were exposed to, you know, 80s metal rock.
Absolutely.
And then when I came away to college, I started to, you know, learn about the 70s and 60s bands that, like, formed that evolved from. So it's kind of your experience with avant-garde jazz kind of was my experience.
Absolutely. So just to get back to your question to finish up about jazz today, you know, the jazz that I'm presenting is on the other end of the spectrum of what, you know, the traditional jazz repertory music that you might hear. Now, there are a lot of big bands that are pushing the envelope. There are a lot of small combos that are pushing the envelope. But there's more, I would say, groups that are out there performing in the tradition, in the form, and you know, trying to copy the masters and not necessarily reaching this kind of point of departure.
So I'm wondering, thinking specifically about the location that we're in, obviously the university is this kind of in a way bringing all these different groups in, like you were mentioning, groups from doing, you know, national and international projects who are available here, you know, in these series. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit to the performers that have their roots more neatly in Champaign-Urbana, and what you might say about the kind of jazz scene that's available in this community.
All right, sure. One of the great things that has happened in the 15 years that I've been here is that the University of Illinois created their jazz program. And that has brought in a tremendous amount of jazz players to our community. So almost every night of the week, you could go down to the Iron Post or some of these other venues that the students start creating as venues for themselves to explore the music. I think that a lot of the younger players are making music that is part of their educational background. I mean, if you've come out of a Midwest high school and you played in big bands and maybe small combos for your high school career and you really like the music and that's what you know, you come to this program and you become an excellent reader, you become an excellent player, and you're absolutely able to leave the program and get hired to make music. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the goal, okay? It's rarer to find those who are really going out there and have something really unique to say. I don't think creativity is really something that is easily accessible for everybody. You have great musicians, but all the ones who come out and have something really unique to say, that's something special.
Genius is rare.
Perhaps that is what it is. But I would say that, you know, we are very, very lucky because we have the teachers who are here in the program. They perform regularly also, and they're at a really high level of performance. So if you want to hear jazz, you could hear really spectacular music every night of the week. Now, I would like to give a shout out to Larry Gray because he's been touring with this super group with Jack DeJohnette put together that also is celebrating the AACM with Roscoe Mitchell and Henry Threadgill and Muhal Richard Abrams, who was one of the founders of the AACM. This is a super quintet, and I am just kind of floored that, you know, our bass instructor at the University of Illinois is part of this group. And that would be a dream concert. I mean, if I could bring that group as a Sudden Sound concert in perhaps a venue at the Cranford Center, that would be an absolute dream. I mean, that's mm-hmm. Jack DeJohnette, who, you know, is one of the legends, one of the more popular legends mm-hmm. of the music. You may not have heard of the other player, but so we have that whole spectrum of experience in our community, and I think that makes it much more rich.
Yeah, I love what you were just describing, because on the one hand, there's this incredible intimacy of, for instance, a show at the Post. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, the venue is small. The sound is everywhere mm-hmm. in the space. And then on the other hand, you're painting this picture of this real kind of global scale in terms of the kinds of artists that are available.
Absolutely.
You mentioned one of your dream bookings. What are your other dreams in terms of who you would like to see in the Sudden Sound series?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, one of the things that's been spinning around in my head is I would like to try to bring some of the creative big bands to town, but that would be a lot of money. I don't want to name names because, you know, we'll see if it ever happens. But there's some very large ensembles that I'd like to bring in from New York and Chicago. But, you know, I think what's been really great is that I have realized a lot of dreams, and I just keep moving forward with the series and seeing how how this series could continue to grow. I mean, to have Douglas Ewart here with a six-piece group that includes Ed Wilkerson Jr. and Harrison Bankhead. I mean, these are all really fantastic people. And I had I met somebody recently. Walter Kitundu is in this group. He's an instrument maker, and he's lesser known. I'm not even very familiar with his work. I had somebody tell me that she was so thrilled that he was going to be here, that I was going to be blown away. But also, you know, one of the other things about this series, I've been talking about Douglas, who's here in November, but two Thursdays from now, on October 29th, Jeff Chan's Chicago Clarinet Conglomerate is performing, and that features Ed Wilkerson Jr. and Wada Bowden, who are both members of the AACM, and Tatsu Aoki. And Tatsu Aoki and Jeff Chan are celebrating the what are they celebrating? The 20th, I think it's the 20th anniversary of the Chicago Asian American Jazz Festival. Mm. And so this concert is being presented as part of that series. So that is a really interesting thing all in itself, because you have these artists that are identifying with their cultural identities and blending those traditional musics in with jazz. But also the particular thing about Tatsu Aoki and the people that are in Chicago and in his group, they really have been celebrating the avant-garde styles, the progressive jazz styles in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's. I know we're running out of time, and there's an improvised music and the jazz avant-garde and jazz in general and all these musical forms. You start getting into them, and it just opens up this incredible spectrum. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to just start anywhere. Come mm-hmm. to one of these concerts, and if you dig what Douglas Ewart is doing, you could see what he did with somebody else. Or if you are interested in Tatsu Aoki, from what you saw, if he brings his shamisen and he plays shamisen, well, what else is he doing? There's the Miyumi project that blends toe drumming and avant-garde jazz. So it's always great to enter somewhere. And before we wrap up, I just want to mention, I have to give a shout out to Barry Morse, who organized this great weekend of improvised music that's coming up next weekend from October 23rd to the 25th at the Institute for Creativity, which is a beautiful loft space over here in downtown Champaign. Very familiar. Champaign.
Good friends with them.
Yeah, and you know, it's like this is one of these underground venues mm-hmm. that have popped up in our community at 111 Walnut Street.
So we're going to have to close it there, Jason, but thank you so much for joining us on the show. We're going to take it out with a truck this evening, and thank you for your encyclopedic presentation of all of the jazz that is happening in this community, and also all of the kind of the flavors of jazz that people can begin to explore.
Well, thanks again, and if people want information on the Improvisers Summit, just go to Institute for Creativity online.
Thanks so much, Jason. You are listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local, including music, culture, arts, food and drink, tech, and more. To take it out, we are going to listen to Terra Terra. They are playing tomorrow night at Mike and Molly's. Doors open at 7, and you're going to listen to Daughter. Have a great weekend. I got smoke in my lungs.